it's a tragedy for the farmers, no doubt about it. But there's other elements that are going on as part of these floods too, which are worth noting. And so with that in mind, good evening to Dr. Tom Rayner. Hello.
Hi, Robbie, and hi to all listeners.
Yeah, now, Tom, wetlands an area of your expertise. That said, these floods, they were pretty gigantic, weren't they?
Well, absolutely. This is about a 1-in-50-year event, we think. It depends what happens the next month or so. But, yeah, you're looking at a major flood that inundated a lot of that central western area of New South Wales.
Mm. We've heard about the cost to farmers and to the people who were involved, and it was a very heavy burden for them to face. But what are the other aspects of it?
Well, I guess, to sort of just confirm that, we saw a lot of these really great wheat crops that were happening out there and a lot of good cattle and everything getting a lot of condition. And just to see that, even from an environmental point of view, even the most hardened conservationists wouldn't want to see that sort of wastage, just to see it just taken away. So we really feel for the people out there on the land who have been doing it tough for a long time. And that's been reflected in the environmental and the ecological aspects. We've seen a lot of degradation of these environmental systems with just a lack of flow, partly due to drought, partly due to extractive water use. There's a combination of factors that have sort of caused that. But when you get these big floods, this is when you get this restoration effect, that's refilling the water table, it's rejuvenating a lot of these habitats. But
so there's a silver lining to all this pain.
I think so, yeah. And I think any farmer would admit that there is a long-term gain from having a year like this where you've got a lot of water because everybody knows that it recharges the system.
Mm. What kind of effects will that have over the next few years?
Well, we've been monitoring the response of water birds and fish and frogs and vegetation for about the last 4 years, particularly in the Macquarie Marshes, which is right near Simon's Place at Quambone, near Warren, central west there. And we've been finding that the environmental flows that have been delivered as part of this government buyback, pardon me, they've been having a lot of benefit, but these big floods are what gives you this long-term benefit, where you're really providing a resetting of a system that gives you a few years up your sleeve.
Because I would have thought once the water receded, maybe you'd have pockets that would hang around for a little while, but you'd see those evaporate fairly soon afterwards, wouldn't you?
Well, it's so flat out there that the water will actually stick around for 8 or 9 months. And so we could be looking at a situation, if we have a wet winter, that by the time we get into spring, we've got really good antecedent conditions, we call them, for the lead up to next spring, which is when we could potentially have environmental water releases that could maintain some of the health of these systems, yeah.
Right, okay. And so from a viewpoint of the animals, you talk about the bird life and the wildlife in those areas. What sort of effect is it going to have on them?
Well, for example, the colonial nesting water birds, like the ibises that you see around the town dump, they breed in these wetlands.
I don't know if we need any more ibises, though, Tom.
Well, that's right. This is a different sort of beast, though, that you're talking about. The ones you get in the city are sort of the skanky ones.
Yeah, they're the smelly ones.
That's right, yeah. And they jump in the bins and steal your lunch. The ones out west are actually quite regal. They're much whiter. They take care of themselves. They're sort of the upstanding citizens of third world.
Yeah, so it's the filthy city cousins who are headed off to the city and become ratbags.
That's right. Yeah, giving them all the rest of them a bad name.
Yeah.
So these guys, and also the glossy ibis, which is the one that's black all over, right, and the straw-necked ibis, which is sort of black and white, these all breed out in these wetlands. And so the males will arrive as the floodwater sort of comes through. They'll arrive a few days before the females will stomp down all of the vegetation to make it kind of a bowl shape. And then the females will join them in their nest. And they need the water underneath the nest for that to happen. And in the Macquarie Marshes, for example, that hadn't happened for about the last 10 years.
So what have they been doing for the last decade?
Well, they do move around. At the peak of the drought, a lot of the birds were up on the northern coast of Australia, in some of the wetlands up around Arnhem Land, which had water at that time. But a lot of them would have died as well, and you would have had a reduction also in their reproductive potential. They're getting old, basically. Mm. And so it was really the last straw for a lot of these birds. Yeah, the last chance, I guess, for them to really breed. And so we've had a bird breeding event out there over summer, and that's the first time that's happened in a long time.
So from all this chaos, there comes renewal and some positive aspects.
Absolutely, and we've also been monitoring the freshwater fish as well, and we've been recording things like freshwater catfish, which are listed as threatened in New South Wales, and we've been catching them out on these floodplains, recruiting these juveniles about 10 centimetres long. So there's some really positive benefits. It's just a shame that it comes with such a human cost as well.
Of course. Dr. Tom Rayner from the Australian Wetlands and Rivers Centre at the University of New South Wales. With just a little bit of background about what else, I guess, what the aftermath of these floods in Western New South Wales, what it is. Yeah, you've been out with your camera as well, Tom.
Yeah, when we're out doing field work and catching fish and, you know, looking at birds and all this sort of thing, counting birds, we have some pretty good photo opportunities. So I've been out there just taking pictures the whole time for the last 5 years.
There's some great ones. I mean, I just saw a few of yours this afternoon, and there's a photograph of a snake entering a stream.
Oh, in a little wetland there. Yeah. To hunt around the sides of those, yeah.
Yeah, and there's some beautiful photographs there. If people do want to see your shot, they're going to be on exhibition at some stage.
Yeah, that's right. We've got a exhibition coming up. It's around from the 6th of May to the 12th of June in Sydney.
Right.
And people can come along and have a glimpse into this wetland, because it's actually closed off to the public. It's a nature reserve, completely closed for research and protection of the wildlife.
Okay, and there's some absolutely stunning photographs in there as well. Tom, thanks so much for your time tonight. Good luck with all the research and the exhibition too, from the 6th of May in Sydney.
Thanks a lot, Robbie. If people want more details, they can just go to tomrainerphotography.com and get all the details there.
Sounds good. Good on you, Tom.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Robbie.
Dr. Tom Rayner from the Australian Wetlands and Rivers Centre.
You're listening to Evening with Robbie Buck on 702 ABC Sydney.
To the quiz.